Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel lesson today from the Gospel of Mark begins not with a genealogy or a virgin birth or stables or shepherds or magi or anything of the sort. Mark begins his gospel with an epiphany, with a revealing. For Mark, John, who you heard about this morning, is a prophetic figure reminiscent of Elijah. He's a prophet figure wearing prophet clothes and eating prophet food and with a prophet's message. There he stands in the river with people from all over the Judean countryside, and Mark says even the whole city of Jerusalem was gathered there with him. And they were all there listening to his powerful words and being baptized with a baptism of repentance. He proclaims to everyone who was gathered there that someone is coming who is so exalted and so amazing that he is not even worthy to tie the straps of his sandals. John proclaims a baptism for the repentance of sins. In an almost offhand way in our gospel lesson, Mark reports this. In those days, Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee was baptized by John in the Jordan, and he came up out of the water. As he came up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is an epiphany, a revealing, a new light. For that word about tearing apart the heavens, the other gospels use words like open or sort of pull apart. Mark is the only one of the gospel authors who uses a verb that means literally to tear open, to split apart. It's almost a violent verb in which the heavens have been literally not just parted like a polite curtain at the Hawaii Theater, but literally torn out. And God comes through. The heavenly meets the mortal. For me, it's a little bit like that image in the Genesis reading that you heard this morning, where there is great and deep and total darkness, and suddenly the dawn cracks. And it cracks that black sky, and light floods in and into the seascape, revealing every ripple, every current, every wave, and every texture with its light, and gives way to something both ancient and brand new. John comes with a baptism of repentance. But in the moment God proclaims to Jesus in that great voice, "You are my Son, my beloved, in you I am well pleased," something new is born. It's like a new dawn. If you've ever been out at sea and there's a darkness over the water, and as that sun comes up, it's as if something new has begun again. The color black turns to all of these incredible shades, and suddenly the sun comes up, and it's almost a violent cracking of the sky. Something new, powerful. John comes with a baptism of repentance, but in that moment, in this epiphany, Mark reveals what God is up to in Jesus. Because Mark is not seeing Jesus simply being baptized by water, but baptized in love. You are my beloved. And Jesus will live out this baptism, epiphany, in many unexpected ways. First, he will speak in a new way about God. Where once God was described as on the mountain or in the tent or out in front or perhaps behind, but always far away, now God is described as being close by. God, Emmanuel, dwelling with and among God's people. No longer distant, but close. And second, Jesus will speak about God in a new way as standing in solidarity with justice and with the poor and the meek. The idea that somehow God only finds blessing, or that God's people only find blessing in power and wealth, and that those are signs of God's love. Now also Jesus speaks of a God who loves the lowly, the hungry, the outcast, and the diseased. It's an epiphany for us. God stands not just with the mighty, but with all of God's people. And Jesus will also live out that baptism by bringing healing instead of blame. He heals the blind man. You remember that story? He heals the blind man, and everyone wants to know, whose sin made this man blind? Was it his or was it his parents? No longer do we see our brokenness simply as a matter of sin and convince ourselves somehow only through good works can we correct the sin. But instead, God pours out God's grace on the blind man and doesn't worry about all that might be attached. Grace pours out and healing pours out unabated. God brings healing and not blame. The second kind of amazing thing that Jesus does is when the leper's skin is made fresh again. The leper, I mean, who would touch a leper in that time? They were considered not only outcast, but ritually unclean. And in this new epiphany, Jesus reaches out and brings healing to the unhealable. Not only making them well of body, but also reconnecting them to the community from which they were thrown. And then, as if that were not enough new stuff for one generation, Jesus has the temerity to reach out to the Gentile woman. Remember, in the olden days, back in at least some people's theology, God came for Israel. And yet, Jesus reaches out to this Gentile woman outside the family and brings healing. This is how Jesus lives out his baptism. He will not bow to the temptation of power, but will give himself up on a cross. In this epiphany, Mark wants us to see Mark wants us to see what God is up to in Jesus. Well, what does all this mean for us then? Jesus hears the words as the heavens are literally torn open. Jesus hears those words, "You are my child, my beloved." But do we hear that for ourselves in our baptism? As I begin my 25th year of ministry, I can't even imagine how many children and people I've baptized over the years. I don't keep count, but there's been a bunch of them. And I can say with pretty good surety that not one of the babies that I baptized seemed to care much about it. doesn't make it any less important. But for babies, you see, it's really just about somebody is giving me a cold bath in the middle of the service and I don't particularly care for it. In my last congregation, I tried for years to get the ushers to put warm water in the baptismal font on baptismal Sundays. They never would. They're Lutheran. If you're going to get baptized, you're going to suffer for it. Honestly, I think if they could have made me break through ice to get to that baptismal water, they would have done so. The babies never really cared too much about what was happening. But I do remember the very first baptism I ever did. It was an 18-year-old woman. Her family was not churched. They weren't much interested in church. But she made the mistake of dating a Lutheran. Even worse, a German Lutheran named Kirchhoff. And these people were churched. And so she came to find herself for the first time in her life wrapped up in a church community who cared for her. And one day she said, "Can I be baptized?" I'm like, "You're going to be my first one." And I saw in her having that water poured over her the loving embrace of God made visible. What she experienced that day was not just some ritual, but being accepted fully for who she is and how she is for her whole life. She experienced that God was up to something in her. It was powerful. She felt accepted. And maybe that's the key. When God says to Jesus and to us, "You are my child, my beloved," it's not just affirmation. It's pure acceptance. Now, there's nothing wrong with social media, certainly. But I sometimes feel like Christians these days seem more interested in getting affirmation through Facebook than seeing themselves and seeing their identity as God's baptized child. You know, when you go to Facebook, it's kind of an interesting thing. There was a big, I do some Facebook 3 or 4 times a year. But there was a big blow up because someone suggested that if you don't know Facebook, you put something on, then people have a choice to like it or say nothing. So there was a little thing that said, we should have like and a don't like. And people said, oh no, we don't want to have that. So you only had one choice. I mean, I think Facebook is Lutheran. At least my father-in-law used to always say, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Facebook and social media is wonderful about affirming. It's all about affirming. But baptism is deeper. It's about accepting, about being washed in love. And it's so much more important and so much more life-giving. David Loza, in his article about baptism, reminds us that at the core of our baptism is God's full and loving acceptance of us. Not just affirmation, but acceptance that changes and shapes us for life. We live in a world where it's not easy to simply just disagree. In a world where we shoot and murder those who hurt or insult us, when we do a commando assault on a newspaper office for satire, when we hold up in a kosher deli and hold people hostage, isn't that a world where being washed in love is really, really important? maybe what we are being called to as God's baptized children is a little more acceptance, a little more being bathed in the waters of love, so that the love that was given to us we can share in our lives to do the world some good. The heavens have literally cracked open and flooded the landscape with the light of God, and then poured out and washed on all of God's people who are being called again and again to be water and life and love for the world. In this epiphany in Mark, God reveals what God is up to in Jesus. It's an incredible epiphany, being washed, the whole world being washed in God's love in Christ. In this epiphany, God reveals also what God is up to in you, washing the world in love. And we pray for God's strength and the presence of the very Spirit of God, that we also can wash the world in that same precious gift, God's love. Amen.